It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hi, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. Glad you joined me today. We're going to pick up with the Discerning the Times conference that was recorded last year, and my message there, The Errors of the Emergent Church. We had part one last week, we'll have part two this week, part three next week, so if you want to catch up with this, you want to go to our website, ericbarger.com, and check that out. Lots of resources and information there, but you'll be able to hear all of the radio archives there at ericbarger.com as well. Definitely want you to go to our website, ericbarger.com. There's a free information pack waiting there for anybody who wants one, including a free CD and some other materials that we'd be glad to send you as well. So peruse around the site. Take a look at it while you listen to the second part of the message, The Errors of the Emergent Church. Here we go into the message right now. What they do in basic is start with good works and hope that your spirituality can flow out of it, instead of starting with a sound relationship with Jesus spiritually and letting your good works flow out of that. So they have the starting point incorrect. Emergent leaders have become enamored with the journey they're on. This is a talk you hear a lot in the emergent blogs and in their books. But admittedly, they're not quite sure where the destination is. Tony Jones, one of the leaders in the emergent movement, said on PBS about 5 years ago, he said, the emergent church is a place of conversation and dialogue and movement. He said, where that's going to go, we don't know. We're figuring this out together. We don't have an agenda of what it looks like at the end of this road. We just want to gather up people who are on the road who want to go together on it. So they're really not sure where they're going, and they admit this. And somehow this is a good thing. It's all an exploratory journey about finding spirituality. But how can anybody lead who doesn't know where they're going? The historical position of biblical Christianity is that absolute truth and salvation for eternity and the direction for our earthly lives all come to us by reading and understanding the Bible. But in emergent Christianity, it's about a set of experiences in a never-ending conversation on a journey without a specific destination. When you look at it like that, it sure doesn't look very good. Beliefs are unimportant. They're changeable and they're relative inside the emergent church. The journey has become the goal. There's not too much talk about eternity inside the emergent church. The emergent leaders aren't very sure about whether there's a heaven, and certainly they know there's not a hell. That's what they say. The emergent church leaders aren't really positive who is saved, but they think that probably everybody gets there somehow in the end. Now, what's wrong with this whole picture? Like I said, their starting point is wrong. The ending place cannot be right if your starting point is wrong. Ask any NASA scientist. The ending place of a space flight can't be right if the starting point was wrong. Orthodox Christianity believes that right beliefs should produce right actions. But in postmodern emergent thought, right actions, no matter how good the intentions may be, don't necessarily produce right beliefs. In the emergent church movement, we are told that what Christians have always perceived as truth is no longer reliable, frankly, because we've misunderstood the definitions of the words in the Bible. But suddenly, coming to the rescue are the postmodern emergents who, for the first time in 2,000 years, now understand what the Bible means. And we've never understood it correctly before, according to them. Isn't that interesting? All the previous teachings have been either incomplete, inaccurate, or just plain wrong. The emergent church leaders have decided that classical, historical, and biblical Christianity doesn't fit into the current modern world, but they've decided to use the shell of the church, or the shell of Christianity, but to reject the truth of Christianity. This is exactly what happens inside the world of the cults, folks. One of the first things I learned in detailing how to deal with the world of the cults was to understand they will use words or terms or phrases that we think we understand what it means, but they have attached radically different meanings to these words and terms and phrases. And this is what's happened inside the emergent church and why I believe they thrive inside Christian circles. Because other Christians think they're saying the same thing, but they're not. They just use the same terms. Their epistemology is wrong. Biggest word I'm going to use today.
It's where they get the theory of where knowledge is. Truths and beliefs intersect at a place called knowledge. That's called epistemology. And emergent epistemology is completely subjective. It has no absolutes. It's a floating target. It moves all over the place. It's whatever you want to make it. That's the kind of thing we used to say back in the 60s. Hey, do your own thing, man. If it feels good, do it. Being that I was in the original hippie generation. If you think about it, that's exactly what this was. Now, this is not... what's the guy on the radio, Dave Ramsey? This is not Dave Ramsey. This is Brian McLaren. Probably the godfather of the emergent movement, though they really don't have a structured leadership. They look to him for direction, and he's very well known. He is maybe the leader of the emergent church movement, if you get down to it. He's written several books, I believe 13 now in all. He's National Public Radio's religion speaker. He's from the Leadership Network, from Youth Specialties, a pastor in Maryland. This is his book, Everything Must Change, from about 2 years ago. He was named by Time Magazine as one of the 25 most influential evangelicals in America. Now, granted, I don't read Time to figure out who all the good preachers are, but somebody is naming him as an evangelical, and somebody is saying he's very influential. Also, the Jerusalem Post last year said he was one of the three most prominent evangelical critics of Israel. And frankly, as a supporter of Israel, I would hate to be in his shoes with that. Just simply because I realize, and I hope you do, that the government of Israel over there certainly isn't a God thing. They're not following Orthodox in any way, but they're still God's chosen people. And God's going to bless those who bless them and curse those who curse them. And God help America if we ever turn our backs on Israel. That'll be the end of us, in my opinion. That's a whole other seminar. I won't preach that one right now. Now, this is a picture I took with my cell phone camera. When I went to Brian McLaren's seminar, he was traveling seminar 2 years ago. Now, this is an interesting thing. Now, it's not a very good picture, but it's an interesting thing that took place that weekend. I spent 3 days listening to Brian McLaren. I thought my eyes were going to bulge out by the end of it. But at 3 days of listening to him during the Everything Must Change tour. And by the way, when Brian McLaren says everything must change, I want you to understand what he means. He means everything must change. I hope you understand that he does mean that, and he means it in the way we understand it. Because they want to change everything about the way the church is. Doctrines, the practices, you name it. Everything must change. It was held at Nampa, Idaho. This is one of his tour stops, February 7th, 8th, and 9th. And a friend of mine, Pastor Chris Baer, we decided we would rendezvous there in Boise, the Boise area, and we would go to this together. This fellow, my friend Chris, is a researcher and very interested and very disturbed about what's going on in the emergent church. And so we decided we would go there together. I really didn't want to go by myself, and neither did he. And we decided we would go together and kind of support one another, you know, and do research and sit there and try to take in all we could. And we knew quite a bit about Brian McLaren before we got there. Having read a couple of his books, I kind of understood it. And about a month before this conference, I got an email telling me that instead of just coming for the Friday night and all-day Saturday session, that if I came on Thursday morning, I would get an extra all-day Thursday and all-day Friday with Brian McLaren. A bonus! Because he was the speaker of the yearly theology conference at Northwest Nazarene University, where the conference was being held. And it was at that point with that email that I began to understand that something was wrong inside the Nazarene church. And I'll only tell you right up front, I'm a supporter of those who will follow the Word of God. I don't care what you call them, Pentecostals, Nazarene, Baptist, whatever they might be called, I'm a supporter of it. And I preach in Nazarene churches regularly. A couple of my best friends are Nazarene pastors. I may have added to that list this week by our conversation last night. I mean that, brother. And so, you know, I'll support whoever is preaching the Word of God. But I thought, how in the world have they invited Brian McLaren to be the speaker for their theology conference? And then I found out, because I am friends with a fellow who twice has served on the national board of the Nazarene Church, he told me that what's going on is the intellectuals inside the theology department in the Nazarene universities are the ones that we have to be concerned about. The other professors are the ones who are trying to hold on to truth. I thought that is so backwards. Shouldn't it be the theology professors are the ones that are heralding good theology? And if there's others that aren't, maybe they should come along? But it's the opposite thing. And the more I researched and found out, the more I came to the sad details, even before I went to the conference and certainly afterward, that all was not right inside the Nazarene universities. I wish I could tell you it was, folks. But, and you know well enough too that the Nazarenes aren't the only ones. This stuff is going on inside the Assembly of God seminaries and Bible colleges. This stuff is going on inside the Southern Baptist schools. This stuff is all around us in Christianity. It just so happens I came face to face with it inside of a Nazarene setting. Now, when we got to the Friday night session of McLaren's conference, this is when he really took the veil off and showed us what he believes. He began to redefine Christianity. Well, he started that evening with songs that any Wiccan priestess could have stood there and sung. I still have the song sheets at home. They were dark and morbid and gloomy, and there was no glory of God, no extolling of God Almighty, no talk about Jesus Christ. It was all about how we destroyed the planet and how sorry we were. Then they showed a film by one of Brian McLaren's tour sponsors, that wonderful evangelical organization, the Sierra Club. And that film talked about how man had raped the earth and how it was our responsibility to save the planet. And then came on the stage a speaker from the Sierra Club to give us more of her global warming diatribe. And then McLaren came up and began the complete redefinition of Orthodox Christian terms, telling us that the church had missed it, that the church had never understood what the truth was, but now they believe they're on the right path. They're on this journey of a destination they don't know about, trying to figure out exactly what the church is all about. If you want to ask Brian McLaren what he means by the term Orthodox, this is what he would tell you. In fact, he wrote it in his book, A Generous Orthodoxy, on page 28. He says that orthodoxy is how we search for a kind of truth. But orthodoxy, according to a definition we would find in the dictionary, would tell us orthodoxy is truth. But he says it's how we search for it, because it's all about a journey where nothing is absolute, not even truth itself. And he believes that right behavior trumps right beliefs. McLaren then, and I heard him say this with my own ears, he said that Jesus' use of the term kingdom of God, or that phrase, was a political phrase and not a spiritual phrase. And if Jesus were alive today, he'd be calling us to form an ecosystem for God, a global peace network, God's global love economy. And it was all about us bringing it to pass to save this beloved planet. Now, this is where they're going with Christianity, you understand. Then he said the word salvation means us saving the planet. It's all about what we do. Now, my friend Chris and I were taking notes as quick as we could. He took faster notes than me. I think he must have had some sort of shorthand in college. But we compared our notes later on. We both wrote about this. I have Chris's article and my article where I gave the synopsis of what we learned there at this conference. Both of those are still on my website. You can go and read them. We shared our notes back and forth to make sure we actually heard this stuff, because it seemed so far out to me as I was sitting there. I thought, I've got to check this and make sure this was right. In fact, we sat for a couple hours that night after the Friday night session to make sure that we'd heard everything we heard, because we were both so astounded that this could be happening inside a Christian setting. Brian McLaren then told the crowd there at Northwest Nazarene that the world, the phrase the world in the Bible, is all about the earth and not the lost. And when Jesus talked about those in the world, when the scriptures, when the apostles talked about those in the world, he's talking about the lost humanity. So if you take Brian McLaren's definition of this term or phrase, the world, then John 3:16, the capstone scripture in the entire Bible, could read, "For God so loved planet earth that he sent the emergent church to save it." Think about that. This is all about earth worship, folks. I hope none of you in this room are too enamored with this planet. As wonderful as it might be on a beautiful summer day, or as gorgeous as it is in my neck of the woods out there with Mount Rainier, or any other beautiful place that we see here on the planet, as gorgeous as all that might be, the truth is, according to God's word, it's all going to burn. And that's not a negative. That's just truth. When God said it's going to burn, he meant it's going to burn, and he meant it when he said he's going to replace it with a new heaven and a new earth. He also meant it when he said those who follow his son will be reigning kings and priests with him. And that's us. But all of that is just pie in the sky religion to the emergent church, because they're here to save the planet. Now, to go even deeper with this, Brian McLaren in his book, A Generous Orthodoxy, on page 65, he says, for the first time through the Eastern Jesus, I began to have a glimpse of how Jesus could indeed be the Savior of not just a few individual humans, but of the whole world. Now, I realize that phrase or that statement right there could be misconstrued. I guess Brian McLaren understood that too, because he puts a footnote in his own book to define what he means with this statement. And here's the footnote. On the next page, on page 66, there's a footnote, and it says, by the whole world, Brian McLaren says, I do not necessarily mean every individual in it, but rather I mean the cosmos, creation, the earth and history. He is talking about saving the planet, and he makes sure you understand that by defining it clearly in his footnote. There is no doubt where these guys are coming from. This is earth worship. It's the same stuff I was in when I was in the New Age movement. This is a New Age, or a, should we say, a Christianization of the New Age, or a New Age Christianization. I'm not sure which way to put that. About missional Christianity, and this is a word that's bandied about quite a bit in the emergent movement. McLaren says, missional Christian faith asserts that Jesus did not come to make some people saved and others condemned. Jesus did not come to help some people be right while leaving everyone else to be wrong. Jesus did not come to create another exclusive religion based on beliefs. Oh, yes, he did. And his favorite Pharisees knew it. The Pharisees knew what Jesus was doing. They knew he was tearing up their belief system. They knew that he was coming in and cutting it right down the middle. Yeah, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to set captives free, whoever would listen. Whosoever. I hope you're one of the whosoevers. I am. Whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have eternal life. Most certainly. That's what he came to do. He came to set captives free and to build the bridge back to God that was torn down. It is no exaggeration. The emergent church movement is a complete redefinition of biblical Christianity. The emergent church movement is a bold rebellion against the authority of Scripture. And folks, that is the very bottom line to everything I'm going to teach today. The bottom line to the whole thing we're talking about today is, if they would follow the Scripture, this would not have happened. You know, it's right back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, where the serpent said, hath God said? That's what it comes down to. This whole thing, honestly, emergent is only a symptom of the bigger problem, which is they do not believe God's word is God's word. That's the bottom line. The emergent church movement is the new liberalism. It is the new liberalism. As liberalism captured and destroyed the mainline denominations who were once the evangelicals of their day. Remember that. 100 to 150 years ago, we watched the mainline denominations, starting with their seminaries and Bible colleges, then into the leadership of the denominations, then into the pulpits, and finally into the pews. We watched them be destroyed. This is Satan's redo of how he destroyed the Methodists and Presbyterians and Congregationalists and Disciples of Christ and Lutherans and Episcopalians and others. This is going on right before our eyes, but this time we are the target. This time we are the target. At the close of the Friday night session at McLaren's conference, all evening, Chris and I had been looking down front and they had added a table. You can't tell what it is inside that circle, but in the circle there's a table and a couple of things on the table, large items, and we couldn't tell what it was. I remember at one point during the seminar, I said to Chris, if they want us to go down front and do anything weird, I'm not going. And Chris whispered back to me, don't worry, I won't let you. But at the end of the Friday night session, after McLaren had redefined Christianity, he invited anyone who had understood what the truth was now. They would never use the word truth, by the way. They'd understand the new philosophy, the new concept, to come down front and take water from the vat. They had a vat of water on that table. Take water from the vat and rebaptize yourself into the new Christianity. Now, I have never heard of anybody baptizing themselves into Christianity, let alone rebaptizing themselves into an aberrant cultic brand that I can't even call Christianity. See, the emergent church operates as Christians. I cannot call them Christians. I can't call it Christianity. I wish they'd just come clean and admit they're not Christians. But they're getting so much good out of operating in our midst. And Satan is the one doing this. Remember that. You know, Satan is doing this to destroy his number one objective, to destroy the church. He can't get Jesus, so he wants to make sure he destroys us so we can't tell the world what the truth is. And then McLaren said he encouraged people to come to the front, and they had a tub of dirt there on the table next to the vat of water. And he said, while you're up in front, make sure that you put your hands in the tub of dirt and feel, his exact words, what needs to be saved. The earth. It was hard to take, folks. It was hard to take. Chris and I went to every one of the sessions for 3 days. I felt like I needed deliverance by the time it was done. McLaren then kind of wheeled around to the mural of John and Charles Wesley up here on the right-hand side that I've got in the circle. He wheels around and says, if John Wesley were alive today, he'd be an emergent leader. And we now have other Nazarene leaders saying that kind of thing. Now, I'm not a Nazarene, but I sure have a lot of respect for John and Charles Wesley. And frankly, it was hard for me to stay in my seat. I wondered a couple times, is this the spot where I stand up and I challenge him? Is this the spot where I stand up and I declare this is heresy? Is this the spot? But I decided I could do us more good if I just sat there and listened and learned what they believed so I could come and tell others rather than have my one moment of letting my flesh boil over. In short, postmodern emergent Christianity really isn't Christianity at all. That's the bottom line. Yet it's thriving inside Christian circles. And biblical Nazarenes aren't taking this lightly, folks.
Yes, and we shouldn't take it lightly either, folks. This is Eric Barger. This is Take a Stand Radio. You've been listening to the audio version of my multimedia presentation, The Errors of the Emergent Church. This version was recorded last year at the Discerning the Times Conference in Hamilton, Ohio. Great conference, and I really appreciate the folks there. Encourage you to go to our website to get all the documentation and information, the articles, resources, and newsletters that deal with this and so many other issues. I deal with the emergent church, with liberalism in the church, with the cults, the occult, with Islam and world religions, the New Age movement. You're going to find clips from our YouTube channel as well as, of course, all of the information on our website. That's at ericbarger.com, E-R-I-C. B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com. A couple of things there you'll find. First of all, the DVD of The Errors of the Emergent Church has, of course, many slides and visuals in it to help you be aware of it, something you'll be able to use to educate others. You can play that for your, of course, for your own research, but also for your Sunday school class, for your small group, and so on. Share that with your friends and relatives, The Errors of the Emergent Church. You can get that by going to our online bookstore or by calling the number that you'll hear John Clemens give here at the end of the broadcast today. There's a free resource I want to make you aware of called How to Spot the Emergent Church in Your Church. That is a two-sided, 8.5 by 11 document that you can print out from our website and distribute to your heart's content. We encourage folks to do so. Many, many folks have used those. Several ministries have printed those out and sent those out by the thousands. And it is a great resource to be able to start dialogue with others concerning the emergent church movement, something that you can help to make your pastor aware of as well as others around you. Well, folks, this is Eric Barger. Had a great time with you today. Next week is part 3 of the message, The Errors of the Emergent Church. Don't forget to be here. God bless you. Take your stand this week for Jesus.
With nearly 3 decades of experience, Eric Barger at Take a Stand Ministries exists to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.